Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens already had the injuries stacking up. And it's a very, very scary time for football in Baltimore. Because you're staring a 1-3 start right down the barrel. Mm. November 4th. That's the trade deadline in the NFL. It's only September. If you're Eric DaCosta, are you already looking at the trade wire? Do you wait for November the 4th to pull the trigger?
I think you have to be doing it even if your team's good.
Yeah.
Seeing what you can add, how do you tweak your team, like taking an honest look and being, you know, like it's one of the toughest things to be honest with yourself going, yeah, man, this part of our defense isn't good, or I made a mistake here and I think we could possibly get this. And it's all what's available too, because we know we've seen more trades in the NFL. But it's still very difficult to make those happen.
Yeah,
with some
I don't
of these
see
contracts.
It very often. You just don't.
Well, we've seen way more
we've seen
in the
a lot
past,
more lately. Yeah.
Absolutely,
past 8 years than I think I've seen in the past 25 or previous 25.
It's just not as common as you know the other sports where they seem to move people around frequently.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll see trades quickly here in Baltimore?
I think you'd have to do something.
The problem is, what other teams want to trade this early?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with the trade deadline. It makes it difficult now. Because even more so, because like, what if you're in a bad division? What if you're the Texans? You're 0-3. You're in a what's a questionable division? Even though somebody's leading it 3-0, you feel like you can get back into it. Maybe
yeah.
Like, are they going to trade pieces away? Even though they might end up being a crap team this year, Tennessee Titans. Do they have pieces you actually want? You know, there's certain things that you got to make it work, and then the contract has to be right. You have to look at your financials. This isn't baseball where, like, you trade, you just grab whatever money, whatever it is. Hey, I'm getting this guy. Put us over this. Okay, fine. In football, everything's got to match up. And you got to make sure you have enough under the cap to fit him. If not, are you extending him? Are you stretching this out a little bit? Can you get somebody else to restructure? Because ultimately, when you're the Ravens, and what makes it difficult to trade for, you know, big-name players, if that's what you're looking for, is the fact that you have a ton of them here and you need to pay them, or you've already paid them.
And also, you covet draft picks so much. What are you going to give up?
You're so good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Brian and Owens Mills. What's up, man?
Okay. The problem of the Baltimore Ravens is don't anybody wake up and see his Harbaugh. I'm not a big fan of Harbaugh. Even a whole lot of people not a fan of Harbaugh. He needs to go or the Ravens going to be 1-9. Second
one
of all. 1-9. That's right, because you got Harbaugh. They need to go get Ray Lewis and be a coach. They don't have enthusiasm. They just sit around, don't say nothing. Everything's okay. That defense is horrible. Horrible. Humphries is no longer a shutdown corner. Hamilton, I don't know what he's doing. He always coming over late. They need to wake up.
Okay. Wake up and let Ray Lewis coach.
Yeah, and Hamilton's not doing anything. Okay. All right.
So what they need, how you win in the National Football League is with enthusiasm.
Yeah, they're not enthusiastic.
Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah.
How do you respond to that?
You don't.
You don't, yeah.
I mean, look, I love Brian, and I think...
That's not that Brian.
It's not?
It's a different Brian.
Thought he sounded different. I think
who
when you...
We all sound the same.
Yeah. How
That's
do you
exactly
know?
What he said.
Have you ever
That's
met him?
Said.
Have That's you ever met said. Brian?
Yeah,
How
I met
do you
Brian.
Know when?
I met Brian before.
You don't
the
know.
Original Brian.
You don't know. How do you know which Brian I'm talking about? Anyway, But why do people
you can't flip this?
We should talk about the one this morning. Where I was like, Rob, you're here. I thought you traveled out. And he goes, they got a game today. And then I just looked at him and realized that I had messed up. And I was like, you mean you don't travel out before they leave? You ain't got your own plane? Like, but no, like, why is it that people always go back to this and go, hey, I think Ray Lewis needs to be a coach, or this guy needs to be a coach? It doesn't mean they're going to be a great coach because they were a great player.
I think it's a detriment. Show me a great player that was a great NFL coach. I mean, the closest I would come offhand would be like Ditka, who was
there's always the exception.
Yeah. But I mean,
I don't know if Ditka was a great coach.
Singletary was a great player. Mike Vrabel was a good player. Right. You know, like there's some guys that were just
not Ray Lewis's caliber.
No. Like, again, is that something they want to even come back and do? I think you got to have the want to be there for the full season. Like, wanting to coach when you're there and kind of do a little speech or whatever. Yeah, I get all that. But people just throw names out there like, oh, that guy should coach. Why? What has he done? Yeah. You guys keep saying that Harbaugh, well, we've talked about it. Harbaugh's a special teams coach. I don't know that he knows anything about, does he know anything about offense?
What has Ray Lewis ever coached?
Well, that's just the thing, man. And this isn't a knock on Ray. It's just the weird that people go out and it's like, we need to bring Ray in the locker room and have him speak to him.
I'm going
to
throw something else at you.
Come on.
I've already made a lot of money playing football. I want to live my life. What's my inspiration and my motivation for putting my heart and soul in this right now? What is my motivation? That's what it is about great players, Ed.
Yeah.
What's their motivation was playing football. Mm. That was it. They gave everything they could to that, and they made a lot of money doing it. So now what's my motivation? Let's go out to Joe in Woodbury. What's up, Joe?
Hey, man, for the longest time, man, the Ravens been struggling with the offense and defensive line. So really, I just find it as the construction of the lines. Because when the secondary had flaws, what did they do? They shift a couple players here. And a couple of times they brought in the wrong players to play safety. But it was always they blamed the things on the secondary as communicational. But I'm saying the line is constructual. And we've been dealing with this for a good while, how to construct a good offensive line and defensive line. And to me, they take too many projects. Look how many projects they brought in for the defensive line. Person ain't have a sack in college and all this stuff. So they got a lot of project players, but they never move up to go get a definite guy. We won 11 picks in the draft. I'd give away 4 to move up. That's all I got to say, y'all. Have a great day.
The only problem is, and I understand what people say, you want to get that marquee player, but talking about guys like Travis Jones, where you find these guys in the middle rounds and how important they are to you, like, there's a reason why they don't give up players, because they're so good at, or give up picks, they're so good at drafting. Like, there's value in having a 5th-round pick that's going to be around for 4 years and play at a high level, you know?
Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, Alex Gove from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, he's break down the Chiefs. And get a good match. Maybe get a scout report from him. Maybe have some insight.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I don't know exactly what the weather is doing out there. I don't necessarily like it either.
No. At all.
Jeez. Think we can get a different one? I hope it's not a rain delay. Because rain delays mean delay getting in the... In New York. Joining us right now from 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City, here's Alex Gold. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to be out with you.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. Now, no one circled the calendar for this one and said it would be the 1-2 Baltimore Ravens traveling to take on the 1-2 Kansas City Chiefs. We know what the issue is in Baltimore, and that's been defense and closing out games. What has been the major malfunction out there in Kansas City?
It's all about the offense, guys. You know, this defense in week one was obviously abysmal against the Chargers, but they played really well the last eight quarters, shutting down A.J. Brown, shutting down Malik Nabers, even if they've only won one of those games. The issue is this offense, and a lot like last year, you know, they just have not been able to sustain drives or come up with big plays, with the exception of maybe one or two last week against the New York Giants. This is an offense that every single yard seems like, you know, it's like pulling teeth. They really struggle to actually move the chains. They're down into third and threes consistently, and even then they struggle in short yardage. And right now they're, as you guys know, down multiple wide receivers, with their number one receiver, Rashee Rice, being suspended. Xavier Worthy looks like he's trending towards playing against the Ravens, but he, of course, got hurt three plays in to the season. So when you're out there with a Travis Kelce who is, you know, a shell of his old self for the most part, and you're relying on guys like Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown really to be part of this offense right now, you're going to get an offense that looks the way it does, and they're having to win in ugly ways. They're having to win in lower scoring games, and I think the same thing will likely apply on Sunday.
Yeah, and we're having a similar experience here, where you're used to seeing a defense that no one can run against, and everyone seems to be able to do that. How do you view the Ravens? It's, you know, obviously people are talking about this team as they, you know, come into Kansas City. They give it the most yardage in the league per game. The run defense is near the bottom. Pass defense is near the bottom. You think this is the week that the Chiefs rebound offensively?
Well, I think defensively the Chiefs will have a great game plan for Lamar. Offensively, no, I mean, I don't think suddenly this offense is just going to go out there and score, you know, 34 points, even though the Ravens defense has struggled. You know, I think this offense for Kansas City is kind of in survival mode. It's, you can't make any turnovers. You're going to have to just stay in this game and hope that your defense allows you to have that ball and that final possession. And they've been in one score games, even in that Chargers performance. So they've still found ways to be in it. But I don't think, guys, that if you're the Ravens and you're looking at the Chiefs offense, that you're still that fearful of it, despite how bad the Ravens have looked defensively. Just because, as I said, you know, they are just so down offensive weapon wise right now. And on the running side of things, they have zero threat. If you're the Baltimore Ravens and you're looking at this Chiefs backfield, there's no explosiveness. Kareem Hunt's been their best running back, guys, and he's someone that is more of a short yardage back at this point. Isaiah Pacheco, his vision right now, it might be some of the worst in the league. There's some clips even from this past week where he's running in to his offensive lineman, even though there's a wide open hole and a lane to run through. He was running backwards on a passing route, which almost resulted in a turnover if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes stripping the ball from the Giants defender on that turnover as well. So, you know, Xavier Worthy to me will be the difference that we haven't seen yet. And with him only having three plays on film so far this year for the Ravens to look at, I think maybe there's some competitive advantage the Chiefs can take advantage of early in this game. You know, they really haven't had the jet sweeps and those type of plays available because they've been down Worthy. So maybe that comes back in this offense. But a true possession receiver or a true receiver that you can count on every third down, that guy's Rashee Rice. And as you guys know, he's still suspended.
Well, the guy that I think would fall in line with that as well would have been Travis Kelce. What are you seeing from him this year? And in your opinion, do you think this is his last season?
I do, and I feel even more confident in it based off of what we've seen 3 weeks into the season. And I'm not even just talking about some of the sideline dust-ups with Andy Reid, which are happening now on a weekly basis. I think those happened a couple years ago. Heck, it happened in the Super Bowl win out in Las Vegas against the 49ers. So I think some of that has been overblown a little bit. However, we've even talked here, you know, on every single week, I don't need to see you blow it up on the sideline. You know, at that point, it loses its effectiveness, in my opinion. But I think he is now a tight end in this league that yardage-wise probably can still be a top six, top seven tight end. You know, at one point, he was still pacing for 900 yards. I don't know the updated pacing numbers for him. But he's someone that when you watch him out there in terms of separation, it's non-existent for the most part. You know, it's got to be a third and five, and maybe they're able to scheme it up for him more. You know, I think that's the difference, is Andy's having to scheme it up more than it's Travis Kelce finding the soft spot in his zone, for example, and being able to truly beat his man. That's just gone. That doesn't exist. You know, I still think he's probably what 95% of tight ends are in the league. So it's weird. It's because of how great he's been. You know, everybody's saying he's washed and all this. It's compared to what he was, sure, I still think he's one of the better tight ends in the league. It's just this offense right now could sure use the 31-year-old Travis Kelce based off of where they're at with their weapons.
Here with Alex Gold, 96.5 The Fan. Alex, we were talking about this earlier today. We know about your rivalry with the Raiders and other teams in your division. But is this something that Kansas City Chiefs fans with the Ravens consider to be a now rivalry?
So I think there's a lot of respect there in terms of knowing that if even now, despite the 1-2 start, if you ask Chiefs fans in Kansas City, you know, who do they still think are, when we get to the divisional round, possibly an AFC title game, who are the three or four teams? I think everybody in Kansas City would say the Chiefs, they'd say Baltimore, they'd say Buffalo, and their question is, do you say the Chargers now or somebody like that? So I still think most Chiefs fans look at Baltimore as the upper class of the AFC, there's no doubt. In terms of, you know, the hate and all that, I don't really think that exists. And frankly, guys, a lot of that has been because of the playoff success head-to-head against Baltimore and against Lamar, and it's kind of the same thing with Buffalo. Like, that's a team the Chiefs have been facing, but I don't know if there's real hate toward Buffalo because Josh Allen obviously hasn't beat Mahomes. There's a lot of Chiefs fans that probably still hate Cincinnati more because what Joe Burrow was able to do in an AFC title game that none of these other quarterbacks have been able to do,
right,
even though now since he's starting to become kind of irrelevant, as you guys know, with the injuries consistently with Joe Burrow. I think the team that fans here probably dislike the most, frankly, right now is the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it was the Super Bowl, whether it was just, you know, 2 weeks ago and some of the things that have been said from that fan base out of Philly. So, yeah, I think it's more still of a respect thing towards Baltimore based off of the playoff success.
From what you've seen, what do you think of the Chargers right now? I had picked them to win the division, to unseat the Chiefs for the first time in a long time. I just think they're the best team in the West right now.
There's no doubt right now they are. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody can argue with that. I mean, it also, the way their schedule worked out, it sets them up so nicely. Three wins and all three are division wins. I don't know if there's anybody else in football that had their schedule set up that way and they've taken advantage of it. I think for me, you know, and a lot of people in Kansas City, because as you said, the long stretch of dominance in the AFC West of nine straight years, people here are still waiting, like, all right, when's the shoe going to drop? Because it's happened before where the Chargers have been in position,
yeah,
and they've kind of crapped the bed a little bit. I don't know if that's going to happen this go around. That's why a game like this on Sunday for Kansas City, I'm sure you guys feel the same way in Baltimore, is another one of those where you desperately need it. It changes the entire path for your season versus, you know, the Chargers starting 4-0 and you're sitting at 1-3. Let's say if you're Kansas City, yeah, at some point the math gets really, really challenging. But I think the difference for the Chargers this year is clearly the play of Justin Herbert. He looks just really in control. They've actually unlocked a deep threat beside having Ladd McConkey. Quentin Johnston, who I thought was looking like he was going to be a bust, was a top receiver, as you guys know, a couple of years ago out of TCU. And suddenly he's become a legitimate deep threat for the Chargers. If that maintains itself, I think the Chargers are going to become a problem for everybody. I still have some doubts on whether or not they are capable with Herbert of going to a Super Bowl because we just haven't seen him win a playoff game, and his two playoff performances have been pretty abysmal.
So give me your thoughts on what happens in the game. I actually like the Chiefs here. I think the Ravens got some wholesale issues on defense, and I mean, they held the Eagles to 101 yards and still passing and still lost, but I think they're starting to right the ship a little bit. What do you see?
So I'm interested to hear, and it's interesting you say that, because I think nationally, clearly not in Baltimore, then nationally, everybody is talking about these two teams that are 1-2 completely different. Like, I look at Baltimore, who's 1-2. You guys know it. The defense is a major problem. The Chiefs, the offense is a major problem. And yet, I feel like nationally, everybody's saying, well, Baltimore, they're going to be fine, and we're way more worried about the Chiefs and all that. And I don't get it. I think both these teams are in a similar spot. You know, I think people like seeing points, and people love fantasy football and betting, and so you see one team that's scoring, and so you say, well, that team has to be better. I think they're both kind of in a similar spot, but I believe Kansas City did find something a little bit in that second half, that first drive out of halftime, knowing it was against the Giants, I understand, that they were able to be a little more balanced. They went under center a few times, which has been something that Chiefs fans have been talking about. That, you know, if they're trying to run the football, they've been struggling. You got to go under center a little bit more, even though that's not what the Chiefs want to do. Right now, it's all about survival and getting to week seven or so when you have Rice and Worthy and Brown and Thornton all on the field at the same time. Can you survive? I think this defense is allowing them to do that, guys. I think we've seen that Steve Spagnuolo has had a game plan for Derrick Henry. The last time out in week one, you know, he was held to under 100 yards. Obviously, Henry has had the fumbling issues this year as well. So I think the formula for Kansas City is leaning on the defense. This is a 24-27, 24-21 type of game. If this is in the 30s, then I think it obviously means Baltimore, in my opinion, wins this game. I don't see Kansas City winning a 38-35 game. I don't think their offense is capable of putting up 30 points right now.
There he is, Alex Goat, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Alex, good luck to you after this week, but not this week.
I got you. Same to you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good one. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Joe LaCroix is on court 9:45. I get it. He doesn't seem that confident either. Up next is the Daily Line. What you got, Jeremy Keller?
Yeah, not a great day for me yesterday as I talked about getting nickel and dimed in some of these great weather spots, and it happened yet again. I'll go over what I won, what I lost yesterday. I'll even take a peek since I'm off tomorrow, headed to the Ocean's Calling, the concert for the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm off Monday, too. So I'm going to throw out what I like for the weekend, some NFL, some college football, and, of course, the plays for today. That's all coming up next.
Driven deep to right center field. Going back, Taylor. Track. Wall. See ya. Flight 50 has landed. 50 home runs or more for the fourth season of his career. Aaron Judge with a three-run home run. Yankees lead.
Yeah, that's courtesy of Yes Network. First off, I'll say one thing. This is kind of baffling me, almost like the not as bad as Lamar versus Josh Allen, where we have two guys that are going for MVP. And it's down to Judge and Cal Raleigh. And I get why people love Cal Raleigh. It's a great story. He's hit 60 bombs. All mm-hmm. of it hasn't been done before. Judge is a few home runs behind him.
Nine.
And he's going to win the batting title.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how people even look at this and go, you got a power hitter that's going to win the batting title.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, you start looking at his numbers. He's got the highest WAR in a whole baseball. Cal Raleigh's fifth. But as much
really
as
for me, because Cal Raleigh's a catcher.
Yep.
I just,
and okay. That's something so unusual. We've never seen this in history. It's so unusual.
Aaron Judge is better in every statistical category except home runs. Everyone. I mean, I don't like, again, I feel like this is where we start going, well, we haven't seen this before, so we have to give it to him. And then the next time a catcher does it, it's like, oh, we saw this. It's not a big deal. It's like when, Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double, and he wins the MVP, and then a few years later, we see other guys averaging triple-doubles, and it's like, well, why isn't he winning it? Oh, we already
Jeremy,
saw it.
You're not gonna I don't need your reasoning. I don't need your logic. I don't need your rationale. I want Cal Raleigh to win it.
Okay. I don't care what you need. I'm telling you what should happen.
I don't need your facts. Don't let all that get in the way of me wanting Cal Raleigh to win it.
Just shut up and eat your damn popcorn over there. That's
you know what sucks? You know... Aaron Judge's on base percentage is .455.
Hey, go look at his numbers. It's
ridiculous.
Absurd.
Yeah.
And how many opportunities he gets, how many times he gets walked intentionally. Raleigh. Again, I like Cal Raleigh more. Raleigh. It's Aaron Judge. He's a 121 Yankee.
121 walks.
Yeah.
1.136 OPS. Jesus. 9.3 WAR.
But you get what I'm saying, though, right? Like, it's I haven't seen this, and it's a really special season for a catcher versus the guy that's having the best season. But, okay, I'm listening. Anyway, so last night I went 1-4 in my top plays. What a pisser it was, because I talked about the Cubs game, back-to-back days where you go, we're not going to get beat by the long ball, typically, so we just can't get nickel and dimed. And Jonah Tong comes out, puts the first two guys on, gets another base hit. They throw somebody out at home plate. Get out of the inning. I'm like, thank God that happened. He comes out in the next inning. Single, walk. And it's like, this again? And then you get to a certain point where it's like, okay, I need him to be perfect the rest of the way. It gets busted. In that Yankee game, Aaron Judge hit two more homers last night. There was a three-run shot hit early. One of the home runs that was hit late. There were two home runs hit late. One put it to tie the total. The other one put it over. Mm-hmm. So it went over by one run in the Yankees game. I had the under, and that happened late. So that's frustrating.
Got two homers, too.
Did he? That's cool. The catcher's net. Hey, look at that. And then he dropped an F-bomb in the post-game thing. He did the major league. Only one thing left to do, win the whole effing thing.
Not really?
On TV. This is great. I love Kyle Raleigh. All right, so with tonight, a couple of things. I'll run through the baseball stuff real quick, try to focus on some stuff for this weekend since I'm out tomorrow. But with today, it's an early game. I like the Reds and Pirates to go over. I do like the Orioles over again. I got to stop fooling myself with this. It seems like the right spot here. Ryan Mountcastle actually has good numbers against Rasmussen, if that does anything for you. I think Caminero goes yard. I don't know who wins this game, but I do think we see some runs. I'm going back to the well with the Mets and Cubs under. This spot nowhere near as good as yesterday or the day before, but it's still... There's two weather spots today. The Cubs under and the Phillies over, and I'm about to get to the Phillies in a second. And Detroit and Cleveland over 8, which I didn't even know this, and I don't know how I missed it for somebody that's so anal about following everything. I got to know this. I got to know that. Charlie Morton got released by the Tigers. He's a Brave now?
He's with the Braves.
Yeah. Wait, why did they pick him up? They just want to say goodbye to him. It's probably his last start in his career, and he did spend some time down there. But he was supposed to pitch today if he was still there, which is, if you look at the way he's pitched, you know why he's not still there. So, but again, I think the over looks good there. My favorite baseball play and the one that's supported the most by weather is the Phillies and the Marlins to go over 9. It is not a great pitching matchup. It's Walker Buehler versus some guy named
Buehler.
Junk, as Rob pointed out earlier. Jansen Junk, who's, he's
always junk.
He's not quite junk, but he's kind of like junk. So, yeah, with baseball, that's what I love today. Brian Reynolds has phenomenal numbers. If you're looking at that first game against the Reds, Nick Lodolo's pitching. Brian Reynolds is hitting .429 in his career off of him. I like him to go over 1.5 bases. I like Joe Adell to go over 1.5 bases in the nightcap for the Angels. He's minus .105, but he's hitting .500 in that game off of Michael Lorenzen. And I like Michael Lorenzen to go under in his K's. He's minus .150. It's a 5.5 number. Now, for tonight in the NFL, I love the under. I feel like this is a play that, unless we see something goofy, the special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns, turnovers that turn into short fields and points, I don't see how this game goes over the total. I think Arizona's going to struggle with St. Louis, with Seattle's defense. And remember, Seattle had the blowout. They got to rest some of their guys in the second half. It's a short week, but it's not like the same. It's short travel. You're going to lose a day. But the fact that your guys didn't play a full game, I think they might feel a little healthier with this being early in the season. The one thing I'll bring up is Zach Charbonnet should be back tonight, which is one of the reasons why I love Kenneth Walker under rush attempts. He's got 39 on the season. He had 16 in his last game because Charbonnet didn't play. Charbonnet's going to play. Walker's dealing with some knee and foot issues, so they're going to try to limit him as much as they can. I think going under the 14.5 rushes is a great spot. I like JSN over his 6.5 receptions. I was going to take him over his yardage. I just think this guy's turning into a true number one, and we'll have to start to pay attention to him a little bit more. So, yeah, the under looks like a great play to me. I do like college football. I like East Carolina minus the 4. There's some 4.5s out there, but you can find 4s. I just think it's a better spot for them, and I really like these football games tonight. My three favorite plays being Phillies over, Seattle, Arizona under, and East Carolina. As far as this weekend, I've already said it. I think Kansas City wins. I think Atlanta's the other trouble spot that people are going to look at where the Falcons come out and win the game. I don't care who's starting, who's playing. It's more about the spot for Atlanta who got embarrassed by a bad team. And I think they come out and show you that, look, they're not a great team. They're a very good team at home. I think they win this game going away with it against Washington. Now, the other spots that I thought were interesting, I brought up San Francisco and Jacksonville. I think that's the shootout of the weekend that nobody sees coming. You're going to see points there. Jacksonville's defense is atrocious. Trevor Lawrence has been slinging the football over the field. He's starting to get, sometimes it goes to the other team, he's starting to get a better grip on Liam Cohen's offense. And I think with some of the injuries to San Francisco we've seen, especially on the defensive side, they lost Bosa. I feel like Christian McCaffrey's going to have a huge game, and I still think Jacksonville's going to have a big game as well. I think there's a ton of points scored in this game for a total of 47 with two teams that everyone's betting the under. College football, I was looking at a lot. Can't believe I'm doing this. I'm taking Penn State in a big game. They're playing Oregon. They're minus 3.5, and you know how this turns out usually.
That's a limb.
Yeah.
That's a limb.
So I'm going out. I'll be on Penn State Island, me and the Nittany Lions roaring every first down. as much as we can. I think LSU's in a good spot against Ole Miss. That's another interesting game for me this weekend that I think LSU's the better team. I mean, I like, if you want to look at the game, you had Lane Kiffin say take the over, which that's usually a good sign that we're going to see a lot of offense because I don't think he's holding anything back and he doesn't care. But I do think they are interesting. Tomorrow night, Arizona State, I got them circled against TCU. That's 3-1 versus 3-0. Arizona State, to me, is the better team out of that group. I think Illinois bounces back against USC. I'm not telling you they win, but they're getting 6.5 points at home. Goes back to what I said. If you're a good team and you get embarrassed, and they had their asses handed to them, you need to come back and show out this week. Trouble for you is you get USC, who's a fairly good team. A couple other spots that I thought were interesting, Duke and Syracuse to go over the total. That's one that I'm definitely going to have circled this weekend. Even though Syracuse lost their starting quarterback, I get that, but I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to be on Alabama plus the points this weekend against Georgia. So there you go.
I believe you're saying that. I do. I like that. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I am? I'm like Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm when he thanked all the people for their service. Or all the people came in and thanked the one guy for his service, and then he gets to him and he goes, "Didn't you get enough thanks?" You know, they all thanked you. I kind of mean the same thing. What an incredible way to think.
He's got such a great mind. He's always driving me crazy.
He already had three people wish, like saying thanks for your service.
I don't want to thank you for your service. The best thing ever was something that I wish I could afford. He did something that if I could afford it.
I know. Spite shop.
The spite shop. I would open up a spite shop. If I open up a business, I gotta want to make some money. But if I had Larry David money, I would open up a spike shop, and it would be in the Chick-fil-A parking lot, and I'd open only on Sundays. Like my buddy said, he would call it Side Chick.
Yeah.
And that's the encore for today.
Encore brought to you today and every day by Lion's Den. Pleasure, passion, romance. Listen, folks, you know.
Yo.
We talk a lot of sports here. That's why we have lines done, but they have a lot more than balls.
You could do it like a sport.
That's right. Go in and check it out because you don't want to get, you know.
Better be competitive.
Oh, you don't want to get yanked in the first quarter.
Actually, I do.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that's the whole plan.
Wrong phrase there. Wrong phrase.
That was the right phrase.
I got to wait till the fourth quarter to get yanked?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you want to throw it to the tight end. Seriously, Lions Den, check them out. It's a great place for adults and couples and all that. It's just, it really is. Check them out. A bunch of locations here. I go to one on Scott Adam Road. Been there with Jeremy, actually.
Yeah. We picked out some nice stuff for us.
Terrible experience, but it was fun.
I'm here to help my dad pick out a dildo. What?
Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. What'd you learn, Eddie?
Well, a couple of things. FIFA is going to try to, you know, outdo March Madness. Mm-hmm. The World Cup goes from 32 teams to 48 this 2026. In 2030, they're proposing 64 teams for World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
please don't do that.
Yeah.
And you know, one of my favorite things about baseball is speed. I love the speed game. It's just incredible. I was just checking out the stats we talked about, the MVP race. Corbin Carroll. It's batting 262. He got 32 doubles. He has 17 triples. You know what that means? He's really fast. 17 triples. I mean, it's incredible. His time home to third is under 11 seconds. That's in a Major League Baseball record. So it's another facet of baseball.
Speaking of speed, you know, Cal Raleigh has more stolen bases than Aaron Judge. Today is National Daughters Day. Brianna and Stephanie, enjoy your day. Today is also National Quesadillas Day. What's your favorite quesadilla, Ed?
Let's see. I'll pass the door.
Yours, Jeremy?
I mean, I like any quesadilla is fine. I like the buffalo chicken ones.
I like the steak quesadilla.
That says Mexican.
I love the steak quesadilla.
But buffalo chicken.
Yeah, I use flour tortillas.
I love the steak ones. Also, today is National Lobster Day. You two lobster fans? Yeah.
No.
I love lobster.
My wife, we were just talking about how my wife's a lobster snob. She went to Maine once, and she'll never get lobster anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I said, have you not tried Panera Bread's lobster?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're sorry.
Phil Rizzuto would have celebrated a birthday today. Hubie Brown turns 92 today. Former model Cheryl Teagues turns 78. Bet you haven't heard that name in a while. Former NBA player Bob McAdoo, 74. Sylvester Cruz, former college football coach, turns 71. Scottie Pippen turns 60 years old today. Rocco Baldelli turns 44. All that, he's only 44. And NBA player Cade Cunningham turns 24. John Lynch, former NFL player, and former NFL quarterback Matt Hasselbeck share a birthday today. Joe, who's older?
Hasselbeck.
Jeremy.
I'll go Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck.
Devin looks older. I'll go Hasselbeck.
John Lynch today turns 54. Matt Hasselbeck turns 50.
Wow.
All of you wrong. What you got for us, Jeremy?
Hefty.
All right. I have a severe fear of bows. They make me quiver.
Oh.
Do you boil water in containers? If so, you may be eligible for condensation. Someone once told me apples are yellows. I told them, that's bananas. Asked what the Wi-Fi password was at the funeral. They said, have some respect for the dead. It was the wrong password. These are so dumb. Well, I'm not reading that one.
Why not?
Because, I was never fond of beards, which I know is something you guys won't believe, but they grew on me. Did you hear about the beaver that was caught holding giant logs in the river? It was damning evidence. The grocery store had a sign that said free fish, but I wasn't excited. I knew there'd be a catch. Jeannie said to me, I'll grant you 3 wishes. I said, I wish for a world without lawyers. Done. You have no more wishes. And I said, you said I got 3. I said, sue me. And lastly, my wife came in from gardening with leaves and soil all over her chest. I said, okay. I see you finally decided to get breast implants.
Oh, God.
Breast implants.
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful
get that?
Friday, babe.
Breast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.